This point of our service, I'd like us to take our Bibles. We're turning to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We'd like to read two verses from this chapter in 1 Peter chapter 2. And the two verses are verses 9 and 10. I've been asked to give a personal word of testimony tonight, and these two verses are very dear to my heart, and I'd like to read them with you here tonight. 1 Peter chapter 2, and verse 9 and 10, let us hear God's word. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Amen. We'll end the reading there at verse 10, knowing that the Lord will bless the public reading of his word, as he said he will do so. Like our sister Joy, we thank her for playing, and also she picked the hymns for this service. And I must say, I love that hymn that we've just sang. I don't recall ever singing that hymn before, and a wonderful hymn it is. If you have your Bibles with you, we're turning again to that passage that we read earlier, those two verses from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, where I read earlier those two verses. And with God's word open before us at 1 Peter chapter 2, let us again briefly seek the Lord's face, asking for his help. Yes, we've known his help already in the meeting, in the praise of his name, but we still need that continued help. And therefore, it is our duty as the people of God to ask of that help and to seek the Lord and help him now as we continue to worship him. Lord, our heavenly Father, we thank thee for all that has taken part thus far. We thank thee for the help given and the praise of the hymns, the praise of thy name. And we ask of thee now that thou wilt bless, as it is that time, that duty which falls upon me to open divine truth, preach upon the word. And we cannot do these things in and of ourselves, in our own strength, for we have none. But we thank thee that we can come to one who helps our every time of need, one who comes along and aids. And we ask of thee for the blessed Paraclete to draw alongside, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. Lord, take this vessel, use it for the glory of thy precious name. Hide me behind the cross, that none would be seen but Jesus Christ, for the glory of thy precious name, for it's in Christ's worthy name we ask it. Amen. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. The doctrine or the teaching of election is seen clearly in the passage, or rather even the verses that we have read here this afternoon. God being pleased from all eternity to choose a people unto himself, whom by his counsel secret to us, he has decreed to save by Jesus Christ both men and women out of mankind. He is decreed to save by Jesus Christ. You see, none are finally saved except those who are thus chosen. As we study the Bible, we find some of the names of those who have been chosen to salvation. For example, Abraham, that mighty man of faith, who was, well, he was called the friend of God, who staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Or Moses, who was titled as a man of God, who refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Or that woman, Rahab, the harlot. God saved her, made her a trophy of grace, and she perished not with them that believe not. Or there is the man of Gadara. Yes, the man of Gadara. He was a picture of despair. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And yet the Lord crossed over the Sea of Galilee to where he was, and God saved him, made him a trophy of grace, and the Lord saved him and delivered him, set him free, and said unto him, go home. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. Or there's Lydia, that woman in Acts 16, known as a seller of purple. That woman whose heart the Lord opened. Not only was her heart touched, but her heart was opened. She took great notice of the word of God and attended to the things which were spoken by Paul, Peter, James, John, all elected to be heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ and have gone to be with Christ, which is far better. You see, those men and women whom God has been pleased to choose from all eternity, he calls in time by his Spirit working in due season. He convinces them of sin. He shows them themselves to themselves. He leads them to Christ. He works in them repentance and faith, those twin truths that go together, those great twin truths that cannot be separated, that must go together, repentance and faith. You see, that is, by repentance we must forsake our sins, and by faith we must receive the forgiveness of them. Both must go together, and so he converts. He renews the will and sanctifies them. He keeps them by his grace from falling away entirely, and finally brings them safe to glory. You see, those who have received Christ are a highly privileged people. because all true Christians are a chosen generation who make up one family under one head, the Lord Jesus Christ, a people distinct, set apart from the common world. They are of another spirit, principle, practice, which they could never be if they were not thus chosen in Christ to be such and sanctified by His Spirit. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Listen, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And so this is a personal word of testimony. A personal word of testimony. I am what I am because of the grace of God. And my testimony is owing to what God has done in this life. My testimony is owing to what Christ has done. You see, friends, I didn't have the privilege of growing up in a Christian household, perhaps compared to those in this meeting. I didn't have that privilege of growing up in a Christian household, but rather an unconverted one. And there was no Bible read. There was no catechism. There was no mention of the things of God. At the age of 14 was the first time I heard the preaching of divine truth. At the age of 14, I went along with a man by the name of Ryan Smith to Randallstown Free Presbyterian Church. At that time, I was running about the bonfire. In Northern Ireland, when we were younger, we ran about gathering wood and we would make bonfires in the estate where we lived. And that's what my energy was spent on in my youth. That's what I lived for. And it just shows you the folly of it. You spend months and so much dedication to gather wood to see something burnt in one night. And my whole life was given to that bonfire. And anyway, the man who God had saved was Ryan Smith. And he was living opposite the bonfire at this time. And he asked me, would I go to a meeting? And I thought within myself, well, the man's been courageous and come over to me and he's asked me to go to church. And my friends, I can remember it, they were laughing because he was asking us to go to a meeting. And I said, I'll go with you, no problem. And so I went to that meeting in Randallstown Free Presbyterian Church. And I remember clearly God speaking directly to me that night, picking me out amongst the crowd as I sat in the middle of the balcony, God telling me that I was a sinner and that I needed to be saved, except a man be born again. He cannot see the kingdom of God. And God was speaking directly to me that night, showing me what I was, and yet in my shame, I rejected the free offer of the gospel. And I said, well, it's not for me. And yet I knew that I was a sinner and that I needed to be saved. And yet I went out of that meeting rejecting the free offer of the gospel and continuing in the ways of the world, falling deeper and deeper and deeper into sin. And friend, that's all the world has to offer for you. The world will only offer you sin. And I can testify to that. It is not a lovely place. It may paint a marvelous picture, but the trueness under that marvelous guise, the world is rotten. The world is stinking. And I fell deeper and deeper into sin. And in God's providence, that same man that took me to the meeting at the age of 14 again came across my path. At that time, I was working in JJB Sports. I was working there. I didn't like the place, but I was working there. I was earning a wage and paying bills, as to speak. And he came in to the JJB Sports at that time, and he asked me, could I paint? And I said, aye, I can paint. But the only reason I was saying that was to get out of the job, because I hated the job where I was. And I handed my notice in that day and began working with him on the Monday. But it just shows you God's providence, and we believe in providence, that things don't happen by chance or coincidence. God's man was there, and I began working with him on the 13th of March, I recall, 2006. And that man would live before me. He would tell me things of the Bible each day, my need to be born again. He taught me of the way of salvation and the need to have sins forgiven. That man lived before me, and I can honestly say that that man had something I didn't have. I knew there was something missing in my life, that I was always searching in the world for this happiness but couldn't find it. And when I looked at him, I saw that there was something different about that man's life compared to mine. And anyway, he would come to ask me, would I go to church with him? And I said, well, the man's been decent enough to give me a job, I'll go along to church with him. And little did I know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And under deep conviction of sin, and seeing my need, and my need of a Saviour, on the 1st of May 2006 in Ballymena Free Presbyterian Church, Mr. Greer, my minister there, had the great joy of leading me to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. But yet for a long time I struggled with the assurance of salvation. I would struggle with it continually for years, unknown to those around me. And I would always be going to myself, am I really saved? Am I truly a child of God? How could God save such a sinner like me? These doubts plagued me for many a time. And I would always look at other people and say, how could God save me? In the sense, I was brought up in an unconverted household. I don't have these privileges that these other people do. How could God save me? And I'm living in a house in a seat where there's no privileges of the gospel. And yet, though these things would continually flood my mind, unknown to those around me, it wasn't unknown to God. And Mr. Hughes, you will know, he's been out here ministering in Lock Free Presbyterian Church. Mr. Hughes was taking part in a mission in Ballymena Free Presbyterian Church, and words came from heaven to my soul that night in power and in much assurance. Son, be of good cheer. thy sins be forgiven thee. You see, friends, it's not what we have done. It's what Christ has done. It's what Christ has done. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. For a long time, the Lord would lay that burden on my heart concerning preaching. I had always the desire to reach others with the gospel, and that desire was planted there by the Lord himself, to seek to win the lost, to seek to see my friends and family come to Christ. And the Lord would give me that burden to see those who I used to run with and along the broad road that leadeth to destruction, those of my former acquaintance in that road, I would desire to see one for Christ to come into the meetings like I did, and to hear words whereby they could be saved, just like I came to Christ. And so, concerning college, the Lord would continually and forcefully present it before me concerning going into Bible college. And I would do everything in my power to run away from Bible college. It came to that point that I went to Mr. Greer and asked him concerning Bible college. And, well, I had said to him about Bible college, and he said, "Well, Brian, you would have to do entrance exams." And I laughed at him. Entrance exams. Because I couldn't properly write. I would always write in capital letters. So if I was to sit the exams, I would have failed straight away, because it was, the first entrance exam was English language, which is your marked in your punctuation and all that. So I would have been wrote off straight away. And I laughed at him. Exams, I can't even write properly. And the man was wise, and he just simply said to me, "Get the Bible, Brian. And you open the Bible and copy the Bible." And he's not a bit slow, because he knew he would be getting in the Word. And I'd be reading the Word, and it would be getting in. And so I started from Genesis chapter 1, and I came to Genesis chapter 6, and I was able to write properly. And, I'm able to write not in capital letters, maybe not properly. But anyway, so the entrance exams would come up, and the first one I would sit in the providence of God, English language, and I failed it by one mark. And yet, even in failing it by one mark, I was so happy, because it was so close to passing it. I thought this was wonderful. And so the Lord gave me the perseverance to set it again. And the next year, I think only passed it by one mark. But amen, I passed it. So then would come, there's other entrance exams, there's history and English literature. And I really thank the Lord for Mr. Greer's daughter, Marbeth Nicol, and Richard Nicol, who helped me through them entrance exams. And I thank them from the bottom of my heart for the perseverance that they showed and the Christ-likeness they showed towards me and helped me at that time. They helped me tremendously, and we give God all the glory. And anyway, I would sit the history exam, and it was a Martin Luther, and it really thrilled my soul, because it was all to do with justification by faith. And it thrilled my soul. And yet, I sat that exam and failed it too. So then the next year would come, and it meant not studying the same books. It meant studying a whole different set of books. And it was the Scottish Reformation and the Reformation in Geneva, John Calvin and John Knox, and it was mighty too. But in the providence of God, then I was learning church history, things that I had not formally learned because of no church background, no Bible teaching, as where to speak. And so in the providence of God, I would learn of that, and the Lord helped me to pass that exam, and through Richard and Marbeth Nicol helping me there. And then we come to English literature. And I remember thinking at this time, Marbeth had her second child at this time. So I knew that she wouldn't be able to give up of her time to help me. And I remember thinking, how on earth am I going to get through this? And yet the Lord helped me. And sitting that English literature, and you had to read a lot of books, but yet the books were mighty. There was Wilfred Owen war poems, and there was Pilgrim's Progress was mighty, that thrilled my soul. And I would encourage you to read Pilgrim's Progress if you've never read it before, to read it. Spurgeon, he read it over 100 times. Dr. Paisley, he said we should read it once a year. And a mighty book, and of the doctrines of grace. And anyway, that was one of the books. And there was two other books, and the Lord enabled me to get through that exam, and I passed it at the first setting. But after that, I would go to myself, well, I've done the entrance exams, but sure, you can do the entrance exams and not go any college. And I would always try to palm it off. I would always try to run away, like Jonah was to Nineveh. That's how I was to the college. The Lord would say, go, and I would say, no. I would try to run away from it. And it would continually come before me, and it came to the sense of entering the application form to the Bible College. And anyway, I filled in the application form, and I can remember sitting at the side of the car. I was working as a painting decorator, and I would actually try to hide the application form with the painting charts, the colour charts, and I would try to palm it away. If people were asking me, what about Bible College? I would say, I'm praying about it. But that was only to palm it off. And that's all that was. It was to palm it off. And it came to the situation that I couldn't resist it anymore. I couldn't fight it anymore. There was three occasions. A man was preaching, Mark Telford, in Lisburn on Jonah. And that spoke to my soul. It was direct. It was personal. It was to me. The next weekend, and I was still trying to run away from Bible College, The next weekend was the Castle Whelan weekend. It's a big youth weekend where many of the fellowships of the Free Church would go down to Newcastle and fellowship there. And I was down there, and Noel Shields, you would know Noel Shields, he was preaching. He was out here himself, and he was preaching. You know what he preached on? The exact same message, Jonah. And I went to the library. I was still trying to run away. Went to the library, picked up a book, and there was a book. And what was the book?
Wrong way, Jonah. Wrong way, Jonah.
And so I tried to fight it, and I couldn't fight it anymore. And anyway, it came to the point of filling in the application form, and I would try to hide it and things. And I asked my friends, to those that I could trust to spread it before the Lord, to pray specifically that the Lord would give me a word concerning going into Bible college this year, the year of my entrance going in. And so I sent them a text message and asked them, would you pray concerning that the Lord will give me a direct word concerning going into Bible college this year. And that was it. I was, if I get a word, I'm going to, and that's how I was leaving it. And 2 days later, I was working at a believer's house. And I had asked him the question, was a certain somebody still considering going into Bible college? And it was as if the man had shunned the question. And he goes, what about you? And I was taken back by this, because I goes, how does he know? And because I never told him. And he further went on to say, I know a minister who prayed for 3 promises. And he waited a long while for that 3rd promise, but when the Lord gave him it, he went forth on that 3rd promise. And in the providence of God, the Lord had already given me 3 promises. And I was asking for a 4th. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech or of an hard language, but to the house of Israel. Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And thirdly, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. The Lord had already said, go. And so, at this time, when at the application form, I was working out in Resharkin. And I remember putting the application form in the envelope and standing at the post box in Resharkin. It's about 30 minutes away from Ballymena, where I live. And if anyone was driving by that post box, they would have said, what's your young man doing? For it must have stood there for about 5 minutes before I put it in the letterbox. But once it went into the letterbox, my application was accepted. And this is why I've read these 2 verses, because at Presbytery we were asked to give a word of testimony. And it was these 2 verses that the Lord laid in my heart for that night in Presbytery. And that's why I've read them here tonight. And so I went forth then to college, accepted by Presbytery. And the first day sitting in Bible college, I was sitting in Bible college. And just the Lord, that peace that passeth all understanding. I was sitting, and I just recall going to myself, why was I always fighting this? Why was I always running away? And I knew right then that I was in the center of God's will. And you see, friends, I honestly can say, yes, Bible college certainly has its ups and downs. It certainly does. But I love it. I love it. And the teaching that we're under there, I love it. It's mighty to be sitting there learning the things of God and to be further instructed, to be used of Him. And I count it a privilege that I'm even here in this land of Australia to labour along with those of like precious faith, and I truly count it a privilege. And my testimony is owing to what Christ has done, to what he has done, and how he is leading me and in guiding me in these days. But ye are a chosen generation. We're a highly privileged people, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvellous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And therefore my testimony is owing to what God has done. And perhaps there's one in this meeting, and you're yet in your sins. You're outside of Jesus Christ. You do not know peace with God because you have not Jesus Christ as your personal Saviour. And therefore you couldn't give a personal word of testimony because you're still outside of Jesus Christ. Well, friend, we present him to you. Don't go outside of this meeting without him. There's no better privilege. There's nothing more important in this world to know the forgiveness of sins, to know peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and as we were looking at this morning, in whom, in Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And therefore, come, put your trust in him, and receive the forgiveness of sins for whomsoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. And friend, I can testify to that, because this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him, and brought him out of all his troubles. May the Lord bless all that is been said and done for his own name's sake. Let us bow reverently.